Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. My name is Christine Brennan and I'm joined today by Professor Anne McFarlane. Anne is the Professor of Primary Healthcare Research at the Graduate Entry Medical School at the University of Limerick and a member of UL's Health Research Institute. Anne's research is in the area of public and patient involvement in research, specifically participatory health research with socially excluded communities. So Anne, thank you for joining us today. Public and patient involvement in research is referred to also as PPI for short, but what does it mean?
Yeah, public and patient involvement, the best way to think about it is it's about doing research with people rather than on them. And if you think about that for a minute, I suppose traditionally ideas for research came from academics who would be interested in a particular area, they would know who else was researching in that area, they would be reading the literature. And as an academic, you're trained to look for gaps in knowledge and then to design studies to fill those gaps in knowledge. And more recently, there was would have been more health research coming from clinicians who were working in clinical settings, either in hospitals or in the community, and they would maybe observe patterns with their patients that they were concerned about or be trying to improve treatments or evaluate how effective treatments were. So the ideas from research could come from clinicians. And of course, it's really valuable that academics and clinicians think about health research and the kind of questions to ask. But I suppose if you step back from it, you can see there's a very, very important stakeholder group missing there. And that's the patients themselves and members of the public, who also will have ideas about what should be researched, what's important to them. And so public and patient involvement really challenges us to stop thinking about patients and the public as people who are just asked to fill out questionnaires or be part of a survey. But people actually that we would collaborate with much earlier on in our research work and much more closely as co-applicants who are shaping our thinking and our decision making. So that's really what public and patient involvement is referring to.
So Anne, the involvement of communities in research, I can see why it might be very helpful and meaningful. Can you give us some examples of why it's significant?
The key thing about public and patient involvement is that people have expertise, as you know, of their own health, and they have expertise of using health services. So they will know things as patients and as members of the public that once you're trained in academia or once you're trained in a clinical practice, you don't hold so close or you don't remember so clearly. So, for example, thinking about how public and patient involvement can be effective, it was quite interesting a few years ago, there was a large-scale project which brought people with arthritis together with academics and clinicians who were researching in that area. And the academics and the clinicians were concentrating on research about pain for people with arthritis. And interestingly, the people with arthritis said, yeah, we do experience pain and we definitely think it's important that there's treatment and management of that. But you know something? Fatigue is a major problem for us. When you have arthritis, you experience a lot of fatigue. And actually, we think you should also be researching that area. So that's a very good example of how people's own knowledge, their own lived experience of a condition can inform what gets researched and inform how academics and clinicians think about what's important to research. I mean, the broader issue is about why public and patient involvement is important at all. And the World Health Organization, for example, for a long time have policies about this and have talked about the right and the responsibility of communities to be involved in healthcare. And that is because the World Health Organization would encourage everyone to remember what expertise people have about their own health, their own illness, their own experience of the health services.
Do you feel that that, in a way, gives people more responsibility for their own health? They're involved in the research and in the process itself.
Yeah, and I think that it is interesting to think that if communities have this knowledge and that they're therefore a resource for all of us to understand health and illness more and to understand how services should be organised and delivered. And I do think people have a right and responsibility to be part of that. But of course, it does mean that we have to think, how are we going to enable people to be part of that process?
Can I bring you back, Anne, if you don't mind, to your research in migrant health? What particular challenges does that issue present for us?
We became interested in migrants' experience of healthcare in Ireland a number of years ago. And what we were particularly focusing on was how migrants were managing the language and cultural differences that they experienced with their service providers. And we were particularly interested in general practice consultations. But I meant immediately the people that we wanted to engage with around the research were people who didn't necessarily speak English. And so we had to think as researchers, how were we going to overcome that challenge? Another issue was that for some migrants in Ireland who experience language barriers when they're trying to access healthcare, they may be undocumented migrants, for example. And so migrants living in Ireland in that situation are going to be very cautious, very concerned, perhaps putting it bluntly, very frightened about engaging with an organisation like the university. They may be concerned about their safety, about coming to events that are set up around the research. So we had to think about those challenges very carefully.
How did you overcome those challenges? I mean, dealing with the issue of legal status and language, I imagine, is quite complex.
Yeah, well, when we concentrated on the idea of involving migrants in health research, which is this basic notion behind PPI, we became very interested in how to do it very, very well, I guess, and to do it in a very meaningful way. Because unfortunately, with something like PPI, it's easy to do it in a tokenistic way, whereby you think if you meet a patient group or a community organisation once about your research, you know, that you've involved them and sort of ticked a box and you can carry on doing your research as you'd have done it before. So we'd be quite interested in what we call meaningful public and patient involvement. And for that, we've looked at the literature and the tradition of what's called participatory health research. Now, participatory health research is really interesting because it's very, very rooted to issues of social justice, equality and emancipation and change. And it's very much about involving people who are often excluded from research or development projects, remembering that they have expertise that needs to be brought to the table and shared to increase our understanding about what we're researching. So in the work we did around migrant health, we looked at the literature on participatory health research and we saw that it was important to do four things. To meaningfully involve migrants in health research, we wanted to make sure that first of all, they helped us set the research question. Second of all, that they were on the steering group of the research and so they were involved in it from the very beginning right through to the end of the research. Also that they took part actually in the fieldwork and the data analysis, so they helped us really understand what the data was about and how to interpret it. And fourthly, the migrants were also involved in disseminating the research. So certainly we disseminated the research in academic journals, but also to community organisations and community events, as well as to the health service. So by taking that whole approach, for example, it meant that we involved a small group of migrants and they trained in techniques to generate and analyse data with their own communities. And this meant the language and cultural barrier that we were very concerned about didn't impede the research itself. And the peer researchers brought an incredible expertise and wealth of knowledge to the research process.
Very interesting. I think you've managed to kind of educate and train the next generation of researchers within their community setting.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's part of what the principles of participatory health research are about, that again, you're doing research with them, with people, not just on them, and also that people are gaining something from the process. So that notion of capacity building at community level. And interestingly, there's a small number of migrants who were involved in the very first study we did in this area who stayed involved, you know, in three or four studies over a 10-year period. And so they've increased their knowledge and skills as community researchers, absolutely.
What has the impact of your research been to date?
Well, the impact of this programme of work is, first of all, that we documented something that was undocumented, just we got very, very clear data about the problems that migrants and their service providers were experiencing when they were trying to have consultations together without a shared language, with cultural differences, and they didn't have access to trained interpreters to support their communication. Once we documented those problems, we moved into another project which actually developed a guideline for best practice for supporting communication in these cross-cultural gender practice consultations, and these are endorsed by the Health Service Executive. The findings of the work have also impacted on the development of the Health Service Executive Intercultural Health Strategy, and that is a major policy document for shaping thinking and practice about migrant health in Ireland. And we're very excited too that the World Health Organization in Europe have an office focusing on migrant health, and they've been very interested in the work we're doing, what we're learning about involving migrants in health research, and we are going to continue to work with them to bring some of that expertise to the WHO European level.
So there's quite a lot of impact there in terms of policy and strategy and training. Could you allude to where you actually think the research might go from here in the future?
Yeah, well, there was a really exciting opportunity for UL in the last year because the Health Research Board, our national health research funders, launched a very, very innovative program called Public and Patient Involvement Ignite, PPI Ignite. And UL has been awarded one of these grants. And the whole idea behind PPI Ignite is to take what we've learned about meaningful PPI, that is, we're going to really take what we've learned about participatory health research and how that leads to very, very high quality PPI. And we're going to build capacity here in UL through the Health Research Institute for health researchers from across disciplines, across topic areas, from different faculties to become familiar with participatory health research and to take it forward in their own work. In saying that, there are many scholars here in UL who are very expert in participatory health research. So we've a lot of opportunity to take, for example, what we've been learning about doing participatory health research with migrants and compare it with other people's experience with other groups and communities. We developed it through the Health Research Institute, but in very, very close partnership with relevant community and health sector organisations. So Care Alliance Ireland, the Limerick City Community Development Programme, University Hospital Limerick Patient Advocacy Liaison Services, and the HSE Community Care all came on board with us in UL to think about how we wanted to progress high quality public and patient involvement in UL. And together we co-designed a programme of work which will concentrate on networking. So for example, we're going to make create opportunities through the HRI for academics in UL to meet with people from our partner organisations and to start having that conversation about what their views are about what are the health research priorities. And we're also then going to develop a set of training in participatory health research which will allow academics and colleagues in our partner organisations to learn together, well, what is this tradition all about? What does it mean for the quality of public and patient involvement and how can people work together in a participatory way? And the final objective of PPI Ignite then is to look at the policies and procedures in UL and to think about the extent to which they support academics to conduct high quality PPI and the extent to which they support participatory health research. So how can we create a culture here in the university that acknowledges and rewards our staff for taking this approach to their health research? So, for example, UL Engage, which is a really important development in the university, which is designed to support civic engagement between the university and other agencies, has a database of research ideas. And one of our visions for PPI Ignite is that we will add to that database with a whole set of health research topics that have been co-designed by academics, health sector and community. And so one of the procedures that might develop is that the ethics committee in UL might like to see, well, has a researcher consulted with that database before starting out on a new project? And equally, the community organisations or the HSE organisations involved, if they're approached by a UL academic about doing a research project, they might like to ask, well, have you consulted with the database about research priorities? So that would be a very good example of a kind of institutional procedure that could be built up to support the use of ideas about research priorities. And so really PPI Ignite through the networking, the training, the review of policies and procedures like that, it's quite an exciting opportunity to create a very skilled set of colleagues to work together who understand what participatory research is all about and who are actually supported by the university to do that. So we think we're heading into a really exciting 3 years, and we're delighted as well to have a new colleague in the medical school, Dr. John Salzberg, who's going to be able to support this work as well because of his expertise in PPI and participatory health research.
So Anne, thank you very much for your time. Can I just ask you one last question? What was your own motivation for looking at participatory health research?
Well, it really came from my experience of being interested in migrants' experience of healthcare. And when I started looking at the literature on research with migrants and ethnic minorities, it was very clear that communities in Ireland and other parts of the world were actually fed up with being asked to be part of research, fed up of being asked questions about their health or their use of the health service, and fed up of describing over and over again the problems they were having. And they never saw any change. And often they described situations where researchers would, you know, sort of move into their community, distribute questionnaires, conduct some interviews, and then move off. And they'd never see the researcher again, and they'd never hear about the research again. So from reading that, the guidance that was coming through the literature was that we needed to think much more carefully about the methods and the methodological approach we were taking when we wanted to conduct research with migrants. And it was all about this commitment to participation, to shared decision making, to involvement from the beginning to the end. And so that really led me on quite an amazing journey of learning and knowledge about participatory methodology. And I suppose it really made me think about the values that underpin it and why, as a health researcher, it wasn't appropriate for me to stay alone in the academy, if you like, thinking about what my interests were in this area. And that the only way really to take the issue forward was to see migrants as co-researchers, as colleagues, and people with expertise to complement what I could bring to the research table, if you like.
So you've been listening to Professor Anne McFarlane of the Graduate Entry Medical School and the Health Research Institute at the University of Limerick. This research is kindly supported by the Health Research Board. And if you'd like to find out more about research impact at the University of Limerick, go to our website, ul.ie/research impact.